3 billion years ago, the vast expanse of our solar system was not just a tranquil ballet of planets and moons. Debated among modern scholars is a tantalizing theory that an epic battle raged among the stars, where extraterrestrial entities waged wars of cosmic proportions. From the asteroid belt scars to the peculiar formations on Mars, evidence might suggest more than mere geological processes at play in the formation of our solar system. Might there be echoes of laser clashes and remnants of alien armadas? This case file, join the theorists as they voyage through vast voids and analyze astral anomalies, aiming to ascertain the astonishing account of stellar skirmishes, sagas of solar system strife.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing, Case File 298. The battle for the solar system, or alien space battles.
Space
Star
Wars.
Star Wars.
No. Men in Black are going to show up to a house, but they're Disney lawyers. Like,
Dan, on the intro for this one, can we, Zell, can you do like a mock-up of like the fucking Star Wars thing? We'll do the rolling text of Dan's, Dan's intro.
If we really want to go for the lawsuit, yeah, we can do that. We
might as well. Let's go with the fucking.
Oh, we can play Star Wars. No, actually, you play the Star Wars theme, but we just speed it up like 3x or something.
No, slow it down 3x. The scrolling text is not copyrighted because I think they stole that, but the music and the name and that style of text.
No way.
We'll find a way around it.
There's no way that name's.
Hey, we only have one strike on our account. We got two more. We can fucking.
Hey, listen, hold on. If we're good boys for the next 45 days. And we're not proper naughty boys. We get that strike removed, actually.
Oh, nice.
Because wait, we're going to blow that in 300. We're going to blow that.
Oh, yeah.
I 300 took that for sure in 300. We're fucked.
Yeah, oh, yeah. We're going to be given all sorts of medical misinformation.
So is the strike still from when I talked about the disease which we can't speak of? The disease we can't speak of was from space.
Yep.
And that killed us.
Yeah.
You guys ever hear that fucking bullshit tetanus shot they are trying to get you to take?
Take it.
There we go.
Just take it.
And strike two.
I'm Braden. I don't think we did intros.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
Hey, before we start this one, this has just popped into my head. Okay, Andrew, I had a question. Is this real? Some guy at work. Who, let me paint the scene for you. He's humongous.
Fat boy.
Right?
Okay. Just humongous. What do you mean? Like obese?
Yeah.
Or oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And he turns to me and he goes, we don't really work like together, but we work in the same area, different jobs. Okay. And he goes, we're just sitting there and he comes down and he's kind of like huffing a little bit. And he goes, you know why when you work out, you taste metal? And I go,
what?
Not really. And he goes, well, actually, when you're breathing really hard, you've been exercising, your lungs got these little capillaries that explode and leak blood into your lungs. And then as you're exhaling the blood fumes and you taste the iron, which makes it metallic. And then he goes, have a good day. And he walks out huffing and puffing. I was like, is that a legit thing? Is that legit. The guy just hit me with like a science fact and then legit. Took off.
It's too legit to quit.
Interesting. So I didn't know that.
The more you know.
Wait. Yeah. So if I've never had that before, I never worked out hard enough, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Have you never had the fucking metallic taste?
Never.
When you work out? Buddy.
Never.
Well, you're made of steel, so you're used to it. You probably, everything I mean, I you guess, eat maybe. Fucking tastes metallic.
Yeah.
You don't know any different.
That's just default, those metallic taste.
If someone, that poor bastard probably gets that when he walks up the fucking stairs.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
He might be on, he's a prime candidate for heart attack.
He's just like puking blood, just blah, blah.
Yeah, he's like, don't be worried. This, I'm just exerting myself. This is all from my lungs. It's okay. Yeah. Yeah, I just popped in my head. It was such a weird. And then he's just like, all right, see you later.
Have a good day.
Like, thanks.
And I was like, okay.
Well, it's a little star weird. With the rainbow, the more you know.
Yeah.
Knowledge is power.
I learned something today as well, then. There you go.
All right. Cool. The battle for the solar system. This is what we're talking about today. It's fucking space battles, basically.
Episode 10 starts like this. Go ahead, Dan. Tell us how it starts.
Wait, episode 10? Oh, right. Star Wars.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah, so thinking about this is this something that kind of pops up every now and then when we're thinking about alien encounters, and especially ones that are, you know, historical, based on historical accounts or things like this. We reach back into the history and we find these events that seemingly show up and something is going on where it is absolutely like, it can't be explained like scientifically, because it's just something that, you know, people will attempt to do it. It's like, it's like, yeah, people can't put it into that kind of context, or they can't really focus it into that.
Look, if everyone knows, if you think you see a UFO, it's swamp gas, you know, Venus and Gatorade, Jupiter over the horizon. One thing you're going to find out,
sundog.
Yeah, if you see a space battle in the sky of ships actually fighting, that's 100% of the time a sundog or starlings. Right, a flock of starlings together.
Right. But so in the 16th century, it probably wasn't starling.
No, starling. Starling, not Starlink. Oh. Starlings.
Starlings.
The birds.
Okay, got
it. Huge. Every 7 years, everyone knows there's just a massive uprise in the starling population. And these it's like holograms up in the sky when they're fucking moving around.
They're quite incredible when you do see them moving like that. But
yeah, you might as well have a fucking drone in synchronization up there.
So one of the events that we can point to that kind of gives us an idea that perhaps there's more going on in our solar system than just us and just, you know, us trying to reach for the moon, as there is a, and people will see this, like if you watch the show Ancient Aliens, if you see any of the shows that kind of want to talk about this, they show this one photo, or they show this one photo of like a wood cutting of a woodcut, and it's titled The Celestial Event Over Nuremberg, and it is a woodcut from an event from 1561, when all of the residents of Nuremberg, Germany, apparently came out of their houses to observe a celestial phenomenon that was going on like outside the atmosphere. So this woodcut that you see is, it looks phenomenal. It's got all these crazy, shapes and stuff like this. You see the people standing down below and like the kind of pictures of the town houses and whatever. And then above in the sky, there's all this shit going on. It's like a whole bunch of things. There's like, there are pictures of what looks, seems to represent like certain celestial bodies, like the sun, stars and things like this. But it's also, it's set during the daytime. So it's not like a nighttime depiction of something. You have all these shapes and all of these things going on, and shapes then that you normally wouldn't see, like in the sky, or you wouldn't normally associate with together. Being into the sky, right? So now, apparently, this woodcut was largely unknown for a while. Like, it didn't pop up until Carl Jung, like that Carl Jung, the one who talked about archetypes and things like this. He actually reprinted it in a book that he titled Flying Saucers, right up our alley. Flying Saucers, A Modern Myth of Things Seen in the Skies, in 1958. This woodcut apparently is also accompanied by a description from a news clipping at the time, around that time.
just before you read that news clipping, I just want to explain to everyone, like, I think I've seen a sun dog once, and it's like where you get that big ring around the sun, like on a like cold days, like it's like the frost or something, right? And it does look kind of freaky. You're like, oh, that's weird. But it's just a big ring around the sun.
Why are you talking about sun dogs? This is an alien battle.
No, I know, but I'm okay. Because that's what I just described to you was a sun dog. And what I'm going to describe now is, you know, when you see a ton of little black specks and they're all chirping and moving in unison, those are starlings, right? And now let's get into the description of what these people saw so we can eliminate those two fucking things. Because every time someone's like, sun dogs, I'm like, shut the, there's no fucking way. I've seen a sun dog. Never looked at a sun dog and been like, oh, fuck, Jill, they're in a fucking battle.
Yeah, but the picture shows like fucking orbs and like cylindrical objects and crosses and like a whole bunch of different fucking things. Wait,
you know what that is? That's all the sunspots from staring directly at the sun dog.
That tracks.
All floaters everywhere.
You know what? I just had this phenomenon not that long ago. I was in Washington and there was that part, that solar, that eclipse.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd do a quick stare and I got this exact phenomenon. For about 7 hours.
Like,
if I squint hard enough, it won't affect me. Don't do that. It's wrong.
Yeah. Don't.
I didn't save my solar glasses from a few years ago when we had that full solar eclipse.
I thought you bought one of those little obsidian things when we were at Chicken Pizza.
I did. I don't know what I did with that fucking thing.
I remember when you bought it, you're like, oh boy, I'm going to use this at every...
I can't wait to use this on the next eclipse.
You're going to be, ah.
Accompanying the woodcut by one artist, Hans Glaser, in the German Nuremberg Gazette. This was written, this is a written description of...
Does it blow anyone away that they had gazettes back then? Because I was a little, I was like, damn. I was like, they're like more advanced than I thought.
Yeah. So the dreadful apparition filled the morning sky with cylindrical shapes from which emerged black, red, orange and blue-white spheres that darted about. Between the spheres, there were crosses with the color of blood. This frightful spectacle was witnessed by numerous men and women. Afterwards, a black spear-like object appeared. The author of the Gazette warned that the God-fearing will by no means discard these signs, but will take it to heart as a warning for their merciful Father in heaven, will mend their lives and faithfully beg God that he avert his wrath, including the well-deserved punishment on us so that we may temporarily here and perpetually there live as his children. So,
you can stop the description halfway, but
well, I'm saying, like, given it that you can see how they tried to explain it. Like they tried to view it through, you know, the lens, the religious lens, where they're saying that, okay, this is the apocalypse. Like, or this is basically like a sign of wonder. This is God telling you like, hey, you guys got to like get your shit together.
Shape up, or I shall smite thee.
Well, it kind of fits, like, that's their only frame of reference. Like, anything spectacular would be that, right? Because they don't have any, like, it couldn't be aliens because they know what the fucking alien is.
Exactly. Right? So, yeah. So, if you're kind of...
But, like, emerged black, red, orange, and blue-white spheres that darted about. Between the spheres, there were crosses with the color of blood. I'm like, anyone that reads that and goes, they were most likely looking at a sun dog, fucking go ahead and Google a picture of a sun dog right now. I'm telling you right now, nothing even close to what was just described. Not even close in the realm of similar.
Sun dog mixed with a little mass hysteria, and they've been separate. Wundesiken. Is what they've been dealing with in this area for a long, like acts of God is what they pretty much call it. Like anything they couldn't explain. So that's what they attribute to this, which apparently most of these Wundesikens could be explained by like today's science. No problem.
And yeah, I feel like,
a guy like rolls dice, he gets 7-3 times. Wundesiken.
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 Yeah.
Jack, is that you?
Yeah,
Justin Jack,
yeah.
Four-leaf clover. Wunderzeichen.
Wunderzeichen, yeah.
I mean, immediately when I saw like that he had the talked about like the black spear like object, I'm like, it's a Super Star Destroyer. Like, no shit. Like,
oh, I thought it was the picture of it looks like Kang's ship, like the time ship.
Yeah. Like it's, these descriptions of these things where it's like, yeah, you could say, you know, try to explain it now, like with all these, you would have to take multiple scientific explanations and kind of put them together to kind of describe something that this guy said, reported seeing, you know, all
and
of
the,
these.
And the black spear-like object hung around for a while, if I remember correctly, right? Like it just kind of drifted for a while just in the sky.
Yeah, apparently this all happened over like at least an hour. Like this is what they were saying.
The interesting thing to me too is it's like on so many accounts, everybody that witnessed it described it as like it looked like a battle. It looked like a war, you know, a war scene. It looked like things were chasing each other, and there looked like explosions and fire and shit like that. And it's at that time, what kind of battles have they been seeing that would be similar? Like maybe like ship battles, you'd think.
We're talking about some like low Earth orbit fucking space laser battle.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, okay. So I kind of was thinking like just on this point, like maybe the battle wasn't, maybe something happened, whatever, two groups met in just in space around Earth. And I kind of thought in my head, like, you know how we talked about like, you know, life is precious and stuff. And like, maybe it's around, maybe it's like,
rare.
It's rare, right? So it's protected. When I thought of this black ship coming in, just it was just like boom, it just appeared. I kind of wondered protecting us. Like it's like,
that's what hey, I mean, protecting
keep,
us, yeah.
Keep your war that way. There's fucking life here, guys. There's life right here.
Maybe it was just that. It was protecting Earth.
Yeah.
It was keeping invaders away.
Right? Maybe.
And as time's gone on, the technology's gotten better, so we don't see it now.
Right? And that's because you think of like, right, we always talk about the Black Knight satellite floating around there, but maybe that's something just like an interceptor for other, if there's something out there that's like a predatory race, and maybe the like something is coming to Earth, let's say, or into this solar system, right, and another species or another conglomeration of highly intelligent civilizations are like, okay, we know there's evolving life on Earth, so it's under kind of our protection. We're going to protect that life.
It's us from the future.
Yeah, well, maybe. Oh, it's us from the future, buddy. Could you imagine? That's even a good one, right? It's like they just why not
future us?
Except how would we know? Because they would have had a future us would have had a known we got wrecked by these fucking aliens back in 1561.
Change the timeline.
Yeah, but isn't that the whole dilemma with fucking
change the timeline? Different universe.
There you go.
So moving on from the Nuremberg phenomenon, like you would think like, okay, maybe it was just like a one-off. Maybe it was just a bunch of people hallucinating. I don't know. They're using arsenic in their paint and shit. And you're like, okay,
it's definitely not a sun dog. You look at pictures of sun dog and you're like, is this just like a sun flaring across the sky? It's not really moving. Like
yeah. It's just like a big circle. It's just a big circle with like a couple, like, you know, lights on either end. And you're like, here's okay, the like,
They can last if you call 15 it to 30 minutes, but that's it.
If you call it a parhelion or whatever the fuck it's called, then you're like, oh, maybe. It just sounds way better.
Sounds like a Greek god or something.
Yeah. Like that tracks. That's fine. But when you say sun dog, you're like, oh, fuck off, sun dog.
Sounds like a fucking yoga pose. Look at that.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. No, that's fucking
space battle.
That's definitely a space battle.
See, the thing is, like the sun dog, like you can definitely see the like the cross they're saying, but this doesn't describe
though.
Yeah, like this is like tons of different flashes. So it's like maybe if it do we know when about this was in 15th April? I don't know if it was that cold enough for a sun dog.
Well, the atmosphere is always minus 100.
I guess so.
The atmosphere changes. The temperature up there is always the same.
Because I was like, maybe if there's like bright flashes, like explosions going on in space, like it just so happens like it was perfect occurrence for sun dogs. So these flares of explosions that they're seeing are giving a sun dog appearance as well.
It also doesn't it say like what, does it give a detailed description of the weather that day? Was it cloudy? Was it perfectly clear? It doesn't really say that.
Well, I'm guessing it wasn't cloudy.
Yeah, because you wouldn't be able to see.
No, but if it was
unless high, low orbit.
No, if it wasn't low orbit, if maybe they're in atmosphere, maybe they're below clouds, dipping in and out of the clouds.
Maybe.
Because it depends how big the ship is, because in low Earth orbit, they're going to look like a star, a tiny dot.
Well, if we're going by the description and by the painting, you would say that the mysterious like black spear like ship is the biggest and shows up late and just hangs around. So, you know, there was reports of like rumors and theories about crashed ships from this. So like maybe this thing was just like a even just collecting debris or something, you know what I mean? Like a scavenger, a junker. Yeah, the exactly. Jawas, man. So just come hang out. Cause like, it's weird. The interesting thing to me with this one is like this black spear, like one, which is by all accounts the biggest, but that it could just have been the closest. Just kind of just hangs out. Like it doesn't do anything. Like it just hangs out for a while and just drifts until it's drifted out of sight.
So waiting for any more to come. It's fucking protecting. So that's it.
So a few years later, there would be another report of a similar event in 1566 over Basel, Switzerland. So apparently there was a leaflet that was written by a historian named Samuel Cochis, which reported it as a religious event like they had earlier, since that's their only frame of reference to kind of go.
Wunderzeichen.
Yeah.
Wunderzeichen.
And so this apparently happened on three separate days. So it happened in 1566, three times, on the 27th and 28th of July, and also on August 7th. And apparently it was around, they could observe the phenomenon around sunrise and sunset. And that's when they observed these strange shapes moving about throughout the sky. So, here's a description from the leaflet. So it says, during the year 1566, on the 27th of July, after the sun had shone warm on the clear, bright skies, and then around 9 p.m., it suddenly took a different shape and color. First, the sun lost all its radiance and luster, and it was no bigger than the full moon. And finally, it seemed to weep tears of blood. And that's metal as fuck. Ooh. And the air behind him went dark. And he was seen by all the people of the city and the countryside in much the same way. Also, the moon, which has already been almost full, has shone through. It's probably like a translation that's pretty... shone through the night, assuming an almost blood red color in the sky. The next day, Sunday, the sun rose at about 6 o'clock and slept with the same appearance it had when it had been lying before. He lit the houses, streets, and around as if everything was blood red and fiery. And the dawn of August 7th, we saw a large black spheres coming and going with great speed and precision before the sun and chattered as if they led a fight. Many of them were fiery red and soon crumbled and then extinguished.
Damn, these guys write exactly like Braden does his poetry. Exactly the same.
I'm sure this is a pretty rough translation of what's going on, but... Yeah.
But you listen to that, and like this one is attributed to, like, when I was reading it, they're like starlings. There must have been a big population of starlings that year and just really caught them by surprise. And I'm like, come on. Like, I feel like there would have been one person there have been like, that's a starling. Those are starlings, everyone. The birds we see every day. Those are them. You know what I mean? Like
it would extra shiny today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weeping tears of blood. Like what? Like
what does that even look like in the sky?
I don't even know. Like, listen, like a starling can replicate like tears of blood. Like I don't know. That wouldn't even look like that.
These people knew. Like we're talking about frame reference. These people know what blood looked like. It's a lot of blood
in there.
Yeah. A lot.
Wait. Yeah. End of the medieval period, right? Isn't that what we are here? 1500s.
Yeah, it's just, yeah.
Maybe there's just like, a fucking, some type of like bird of prey just shredding these starlings in the sky.
You just dice them up.
It's like, you feel the
just some
it.
Peregrine falcons. Just like, it was also a heavy year for peregrine falcons. They're just fucking darting in at 250 kilometers an hour, just murking these starlings.
Well, it's interesting that they say like how the sun like dimmed. Like it just kind of, you know, something just happened where it's like the sun just seems to take like lose its brightness, where there's something kind of like against the atmosphere.
Big ass flock of fucking starling could do that.
Yeah, that's the only part.
Like a black fucking cloud.
That's the only part where you'd be like, okay, that part right there, possibly starlings. The tears of blood.
Yeah,
not so much. I just
I don't even think they have red on them. There's no red on a starling.
I think even if you
you looked at them from like they were against the sun, everything would seem black because it's all in shadow. Yeah. Like it would be everything. I don't know how you would be like, okay, like tears of blood. Like,
I'm looking at pictures of starlings now. Some have an orange belly. Some of them.
So they're all orange bellied sapsuckers, the ones that they saw.
Some are orange, but most of them just have like either white speckled bellies or.
Yeah.
But even then, they're like far up high.
The most popular like is a European starling, which is like just a dark brown.
Yeah.
They're small birds too. Like how could you mistake it?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you know, I think everyone here has seen them like fly in like the patterns. Cool looking.
Yeah. Super cool.
I would say unmistakable. Maybe if you had never seen it and this is the first time, but that would, in that sense, we would have to assume that no one had seen a starling in a flock in 1566. Yeah. And this was the first time ever that anyone's ever seen starling. They're like, they just popped up. Oh, look at these things. And you'd never see them. Cause I'm like,
never bothered to look up until today. Like, yeah.
The only other thing is like, they make noises. It's not silent. Like they're fucking chirping and shit as they're flying and like moving around. So it's like, I feel like they'd be very easy to be like, okay, that was a bird. Those were birds. Like,
I mean, when they talk about like the large black spheres coming and going, it's like even like a starling like formation would be like flying around and they're kind of like they're well choreographed, you know, things like they don't take on, it's like taking the shape of like a sphere and then moving as that sphere and not like, you know, as they move as like a group, it's like kind of like stretches out like the shapes that they make. It's like, it's not something that'd be like, okay, you've got these spheres coming and going, you know, flying against each other or wherever they're going. And he's saying that they're just like, they're chattering or they're making some kind of noise as they're moving. And then said many of them fiery red and then crumbled and then extinguished. I mean, that sounds like something's getting shot down, like either in the atmosphere, like it's going through the sky and they're breaking apart as it's happening. Like,
that's a good point. Like it's coming into the atmosphere and it's that, cause if it's bursting apart and stuff's coming off in like flames, that could give the appearance of tears of blood. You know what I mean? Especially if it's like coming down in the direction of the sun. So you're doing one of these like squinting, right? And you just see pieces coming off it, streaking. Well,
maybe it's
flame.
On fire, right?
Yeah, exactly. So that I like that. I didn't even think about that.
So these things are like, I mean, even if they're getting shot down or like, just saying that, you know, for speculation, it's just saying that these are like autonomous drones of some type where it's like, okay, they get shot down and they don't want them to be recovered. They just self-destruct. Like they take a certain amount of damage and they're just like, and they just like decide to just go up. So these things are just like, they're getting shot down. They take a certain amount of damage and they're just like, well, that, see ya, boom. And then they just
self-destruct.
Self-destruct initiated, you know, cause I mean, that's what it sounds like to me as when these descriptions, like if you look at it through, you know, the ancient alien lens, you're like, yeah, this sounds like a space battle's going on. And it's not, I mean, we don't see the black spear thing that there was earlier, that is described during the 1561 event, but you do have the kind of similarities, between like the spheres and, you know, the color of the sky turning red and like these things.
Could we chalk this one up though? Like, cause the first one definitely sounds more like a battle. Could we chalk this one up to like a ship coming down, like a ship crashing, like coming in the atmosphere and just crashing. Right. Because like, you know what I mean? Cause it's not like it's like the sky's lighting up with all this. This does kind of seem like a singular thing. Do you know what I mean?
Maybe it's the fucking spear shaped ship.
Or something. This one kind of struck me, especially as Dan, as you mentioned the, like your point, I was like, I kind of think that maybe this wasn't so much as of a, like of a fight, or if this was them witnessing something coming apart, like a ship coming apart in the atmosphere.
Yeah. Aftermath.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it
Shit. The aftermath, this is after. What if something was just fucking floating adrift from this?
Yeah.
And it finally had entered a
decaying orbit.
Decaying orbit and is crashing in, right? Yeah. Like this is only 5 years after this battle. So awesome. Maybe like,
yeah they just like debris from the yeah. earlier battle is just like stuck in high orbit and then kind of as it decayed
coming in
came down. Yeah. Getting sucked down into the gravity well. Yeah. It's possible.
Tears of blood. That makes more sense.
But yeah, these are like, you look at these accounts of these from the Middle Ages and stuff, but it's like, you can reach even farther back and take, if you take it from, like we said, the frame of reference that they're looking at religious events as, these celestial events, which are interpreted as the battles of gods or deities. I mean, you can go even further back and pick out a lot more stuff that when you look at it in a certain way, you're like, oh, well, that maybe this has been going on for longer than you originally imagined. Like these ones in the 16th century, you go even farther back and you're like, okay, how long has this been going on that we have these epic battles that have been going on? We've talked about it before. And we talked about alien super weapons and probably one of the main sources for these descriptions of these like these divine weapons or kind of strange strange weapons or conveyances or whatever is you can pull a lot of stuff from Hindu texts, one of the earliest religious texts, that kind of stuff that's written down.
Good friends, the Vimanas.
Right. We've talked about the Vimanas before, like the godly craft that they would fly around and had all kinds of capabilities of flight and defenses and stuff like that.
Those are the ones where they built the temples to look like them, right? Mm-hmm. Like the Vimanas were like flying temples, basically.
And it's like, I mean, these are from some of these texts are like extremely detailed descriptions of these craft, going down to like even like how their engines, like how their propulsion systems work and how they
prayer.
Now the gods like move them around and use them and how they use them. So in a few of the Mahabharata, you've got these descriptions and these detailed accounts of battles that involve things like, the Vimanas, but you also have, smaller things like flying chariots and giant explosions produced by weaponry that, could decimate an entire city. And so, one of these, for example, is like, there's a weapon called the Brahmastra, which is they kind of compare to a nuclear weapon, with the amount of power that it has. So these things are interesting to me when you go back, cause you're like, okay, like if you take the Hindu text being in like the earlier battles, like these battles were actually occurring on like planet side, like they're actually happening on Earth, as opposed to the ones that you have later and, the Middle Ages, like these are happening outside, obviously like outside, like our atmosphere or at least like maybe low orbit.
What if it's one of those things where it's cause like people are going to say like, well, that none of this shit's happened again since, but maybe it's one of those things where it's like, as if there's an overwatch or someone watching the progress of Earth, maybe it's one of those things where it's like they've helped. And then it's like their parameter of like where they kind of lie expands as we become more like technologically advanced. And it's like, so like before it was like, they were planet side and like shit would come to planet. They would help us on the planet. And it's like, all right, listen, they're getting a little, we can kind of step back now. We'll just kind of like watch over the solar system. And then it's like, as soon as we start kind of developing our own weaponry and stuff, they're like, okay, like give them their space, give them their solar system. Like it's almost kind of like they give us a bigger playpen. You know what I mean? They're like, okay, this solar system's now, that's the Earth's, that's the humans, let them do their thing. Right. And it's like, until we get to a point where we overlap and can join some sort of galactic federation. No, I'm just,
galactic federation.
Or, if you look at it this way, when I was going through the, some of the events from the Mahabharata, there's a description of one of the, like the pivotal events is called the Kurukshetra war.
You got it, Dan. That sounds right.
So apparently it was like a 20-day war between like two great armies. And they have this one where two of like the leaders of the armies essentially like pulled out their biggest weapons, and those were the Brahmastras. They both had one, and these ones, like one of them was like he basically deployed it, or at least was readying to deploy it, and intended to just wipe out the entire line, so the entire lineage of the other army. So just like, you're gonna wipe out an entire city or like a freaking continent or something like that. Well, the other one had that one too, the other one of the other generals on the other side. So they're basically like pointing like their huge guns at each other, and it actually had
the nukes at each other.
Yeah.
And dude, then it's so weird that this is like ancient text, because it's literally like
it's the same
they
thing
say history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. It's like, I mean, God, you got superpowers just pointing nukes. You know what I mean? Right now.
Yeah.
Like,
this is the ancient version of mutually assured destruction.
Yeah. It's so weird. And then you're like, yeah, part of me is wondering, like, if they were to detonate these weapons back then, or whatever these things were, and just decimate each other back to the Stone Age, what would scientists looking at this thing, like looking at these sites, you know, would they chalk it up to, you know, weapons, or would they, you look for like a natural cause of what, like, you know what, this had to be this. This is the only thing that makes sense. Totally like glossing over the fact that, you know, there's these texts and, you know, perhaps these things were wiped out by
because we've talked about it before. And if you go searching, you can find pictures of it. I don't know how reliable it is, but they say like some of these ancient stone looks like it's been melted, kind of like nuclear fire or some type of extreme heat.
Dragon's
like,
fire.
Yeah. Well, they say like these stone stairs and a stone archway is like melted, and you're like, well, that, how, like, why is that? Why does that look like that?
There's the one with two, it's two giant smooth boulders, and at almost at the top of them, there's just like an arched bridge. Looks like it's carved in, and then of like an ancient bridge. And people are like, I remember watching this one video, and it was like, you know, what makes more sense, that people are so bored that they spent all the time and effort scaling these rocks to just build this like 6-foot bridge span, carve it in, or this was a bridge span connecting two ancient buildings that were basically liquefied to stone in like immense heat. And that's just the leftover, like what you're seeing.
Well, even if it wasn't like nuclear power, some type of like advanced super weapon, you know?
Yeah. Well, where I was working towards is that I was thinking that, so you have these two major powers basically set to deploy weapons that would destroy all life on Earth, is what the text kind of leads you to believe. And then it only by the efforts of like, they said that there was two immensely respected sages kind of had to step in and reason the two leaders down from using these weapons. And then it's like, maybe from then on, I mean, like, to me, it seems like they kind of struck a treaty, like, hey, like, take your shit like off the planet. Like, don't do this anymore. Like, we can't, you know, this has gotten a little too crazy for something like this. So I'm thinking that, you know, this is kind of why you don't see or why you wouldn't see like the battles taking place on Earth anymore. Maybe they happened in the distant past at some point. And you can see it in a couple other, like, and we'll talk about a couple other examples.
Maybe that's one of those things, though, where it's like, you know, they're on Earth and they're both kind of vying for like the resources of Earth, the control over the human species. And it's like, if I'll blow the whole fucking thing up, it's ours.
I can't.
And
then they're like, no,
okay. And they're like, okay, like both of us, we'll just leave it to them. Like, let's.
Well, it's just like, I imagine it's the whole like, what is it? True Romance. Everybody's sitting there like pointing guns at each other and yelling and screaming at each other. That everybody's like
easy. Talking to like,
but they, you know, but eventually they have to like back down. These sages being, the sages could have been anyway. It's not like necessarily have to be human, but perhaps it was like representatives from another, like you said, like a federation kind of stepped in and said, hey, no, like don't do that.
Yeah. No one can be on the planet. Leave.
Yeah. You guys are done. You guys are done here. Take your shit and pack it up and don't do it here, you know? And so now when it becomes, you know, they stepped in and been like, no, life is precious and, you know, intelligent life. If we're going that route, they can be like, okay, you need to step off. And that's why you get these, going back to the Nuremberg and the Basel events and being like, okay, you can battle outside the planet. You know, it's not as taboo, or, you know, it wouldn't be as like,
a big deal, I guess, I suppose, than actually fighting. You don't see that stuff in like modern history or kind of recent history, recorded history, being like, okay.
Because they developed the fucking, whatever that fucking spear is to protect Earth. After that, they're like, well, we got to keep the world safe. Do some right. policing.
Yeah, yeah.
Space Force.
Yeah, Space Force. Pre-Space Force.
Right, because I mean, you could tie that into the black, because we always wonder like what the Black Knight is, the Black Knight satellite. Like if it's floating up there, what is it doing? And like maybe it's just monitored to make sure that like, you know, our technological advances, incoming threats to us, right? And it's just making sure that we're keep on keeping on. Right, which is why anytime we start getting too fucking crazy with nukes, all of a sudden these things are buzzing our bases.
So yeah, there's even more that you can even kind of reach back, and if we can link stuff like this, because you're like, okay, why would they be interested? And we talked about life being precious, but perhaps there's other reasons that extraterrestrials might find our particular solar system interesting. And we probably can talk about that after we take a break.
It's a perfect time for a break. We'll be right back.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs, so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
We're back. You know what I was thinking of? I was thinking that
about people throwing carts at Costco at people.
Yeah, yeah, that's the old nuclear deterrent. That's why they give everyone carts there, right? So
anyone could be slammed with a cart at any time.
On the break, we watched the infamous Costco cart chucking fiasco. We'll talk about it on After Hours. We'll get more into it. But what I was thinking of is, imagine if like, because like since you know we've had nuclear weapons and we've seen all the uptick in UFO activity around nuclear bases and stuff, and we've always kind of theorized it like, are they coming around because of the nukes? Imagine in like 50 years time, 60 years time, they're just like, no one's wanting to say anything because all these superpowers have been like, don't actually have a nuclear deterrent anymore. They've all been like, for whatever
they're
reason,
like
they're disarmed. They're disarmed, and they're like, "Well, we can't. We think it was Russia, and Russia's like, we think the states did ours, and really, like, no one has the nuclear capabilities right now to fire nuclear weapons." And we're just like, everyone's just like stalemated, thinking that it's the other person who, like, maybe it was them who did this.
No. I mean, that would be great.
Yeah, it would be good for a current climate.
Nice. Or
I have a feeling.
Or the opposite version.
We might be seeing one soon.
The opposite version of that is. The aliens want the planet. They don't care about the nuclear fallout. They shoot a nuke from a territory to another territory, thinking that now we shot it at ourselves, and then we retaliate, wipe ourselves out.
Oh yeah.
And they just swoop down, use their tech, clean the radiation, and take over the planet.
Well, what's 25 years, 25, 30 years for it to dissipate?
Depending on the type of nuclear weapon.
Yeah, it depends, yeah.
Well, yeah, the mass. Like, well, and if everybody's using a nuke, it's going to be...
Depending on which kind of nuke. Like, some of the tactical nukes, it's not that much anymore. Like, they're a lot less than they were, like, the first nuclear weapons. Like, more efficient.
Yeah, if it's just, like, a dirty bomb that spreads, like,
yeah,
radioactive depends. Material everywhere, then it's different.
Mm-hmm. But, well, and there's a few of them.
yeah. But going back to what we were talking about before, the threat of... total planetary annihilation. Maybe there is a reason that they stopped that event, that these sages stepped in and were like, okay, no, you guys cannot deploy these weapons that will completely explode this planet, because perhaps it's something they had seen before, and not just in another you know, like another galaxy or their home galaxy, perhaps in this solar system. Because if you look at the, if you go ahead and look at what is the Babylonian creation epic known as the Enuma Elish, there is a, you know, there's the basic, like, you know, battle between the gods and chaos, which is, you know, the gods being, you know, leader of the gods, the Marduk, and then the chaos, the representation of chaos, which is the dragon Tiamat.
Hail Tiamat.
And there is this idea that Zechariah Sitchin put forth that perhaps this story is actually an allegory for planetary events, and that with the destruction of Tiamat actually being, you know, like a metaphor for a primordial planet that existed between Mars and Jupiter, and that is what eventually became the asteroid belt. Ancient astronaut theorists is that this asteroid belt used to be a planet, and then it's like, you know, it's,
and they point to the, like, the even, almost like the even kind of spacing of the planets in the solar system, and then there's just that big old gap, and right in the middle of that big old gap is like debris field, right, of something that was possibly just destroyed in some sort of ancient space war.
Well, it's interesting because you look at, like, I don't know, I can't, there's only two cultures that come to mind, but I remember there being more that, like, always associate Mars with, like, a god of war. Like, all, like, it's like the Babylonians had Ergol, right? Who is god, and then you have Mars, which literally, like, the Greeks and the Romans named the planet after their god of war as well. And it's like, where does that come from? Why? You have two completely separate cultures that associate that planet with fucking war
and
conquer.
And that planet at one time had an atmosphere that was somehow stripped away.
That we don't know.
It's punishment.
They're like, oh, it was solar wind over time stripped the atmosphere. But no, it was nuclear weapons, and they also blew up another planet, and that's the asteroid belt now.
Yeah. All right, well, let's join the two theories. Like, what we're talking about, like the stories that we're just talking from the Mahabharata of these two superpowers that did that. What if that's a cautionary tale of, like, this planet and Mars, and they both had rival, like, super weapons, and one, like, Mars obliterated this planet. It's now asteroids, and whatever this planet fired obliterated Mars's atmosphere. Right. And just turned it into bare waste. So you have these two relics in our solar systems that were at war, this planetary war in our solar system that are just sitting there as remnants. And that's why these stories have got passed around, because maybe we were like a refugee planet where survivors came, and these stories have just continually, you know, got telephoned on and on and on and on.
The Sumerians were aliens, 100%.
I've been
listening to the world, like the history of the world, while I've been running in the mornings, and you look like I can't remember the history of the world.
This must be really long runs. That's like, it's a lot. It's like
I've only run 6 million
miles, like 6 million years. And there's that 3.7 billion years.
It's fucking spread fast. But that, like, yeah, you look, like, at, like,
two XP.
You listen to the story of, like, the founding of Sumeria and, like, the first kings and the first dynastic periods, and, like, these, like, Eridu and all that, they ruled for hundreds and hundreds of years. The same person. It's like, that's like, they've either there's a mistake in the history, or it's like, no, these people weren't fucking human.
That's some long lifespan, man.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, it's interesting. And it's like, as the longer they stay on Earth, the lifespan start to shorten of these kings, and you can see it.
It's like they're affected by the atmosphere or something.
Yeah.
Or they've had to breed with humans, and now they're hybrids, so they don't get to live as long.
Yeah. On the asteroid belt again though, because that's something I've always thought was super crazy, is that, so they say the solar system forms like the galactic dust through gravity, collapses in, it forms a star, and then around that dust forms planets. And then just for no reason, this perfect ring of material just doesn't form into a planet. And then the other theory is, or it was a planet that was either hit by another planet and that's what blew it up, or it was blown. It's because if it's just dust, all the other dust formed into a planet, and then this asteroid belt has the mass of a planet the size of Earth, roughly, is what they think. If you're gonna shove all the rocks together. But that doesn't make sense if it was dust, because dust forms from gravity, and there's no way that these little tiny rocks are going to form in that orbit.
Yeah.
It's like something happened to a body in the solar system that shattered it into a billion pieces.
Martians blew it up.
There it is.
Yeah, and one of the actual pieces of evidence that some scientists point to is there's an asteroid known as that they labeled 16 Psyche. That is apparently it's one of the more massive asteroids, or like the most massive asteroids within the asteroid belt, and it's believed to be composed mostly of metallic iron and nickel, which is similar to Earth's core, and that its composition might suggest that it's actually the remnant core of a protoplanet that lost its outer layers. Like if it got shattered or something, like it's just like a piece of it that's just kind of floating around. There might be more, asteroid belt is huge, but
because the birth of the solar system, like they say that our moon was another planet, right? Collided with Earth in the Pacific basin. And that's where there's that huge gouge in that one side of the planet. And then it kind of like spun out and it stuck there. That's what they say. So, I mean, maybe that was part of it too. Maybe this alien species is so advanced they can actually manipulate gravity in such a way to just hurl gigantic balls of mass at other objects.
That's not totally out there. I mean, it's been a couple, science fiction thing where it's like, yeah, asteroids are just kinetic weapons, like waiting to be used. Like if you have asteroids somewhere, it's way easier to just kind of like push one. Like if, yeah, especially if you get it going, yeah, you just kind of push it towards the planet and you're just like, okay, like there's nothing you can stop it, like really. It's just, yeah, it's,
but even if it was like, wouldn't this, you get the same effect if they launched something at like if one of these, say there was an advanced civilization and they had some sort of ability to shoot something at like light speed at another planet, like it wouldn't even have to be that big obliterate that thing, right?
Yeah, like, if you can accelerate something to relativistic speeds and just like, yeah, if it could be like a car, like the size of a car, and smack it through, it just like pass through the center of the planet.
And then
is that Elon's purpose for launching a Tesla up in fucking space? Yeah.
Towards Mars. He's
a super villain. Yeah, he's taking
it. The other interesting thing is maybe it's not even like a mutual thing. Maybe this was a byproduct of like, say whatever civilization on Mars did this to another planet and another civilization in the solar system. And like by doing so, like, the explosion was so fucking big that they actually got pelted with fucking debris as well from it that eventually stripped away the atmosphere. Like they just got,
some ricochet.
Yeah.
So something that ties into this idea that aliens have been going, are within our solar system or fighting over our solar system for some reason, is the idea that like, when did humans become like active participants in this thing? Cause we do have some theories floating around out there that we, that humans are either part of or have been contributing to some of this. Did aliens come up and take notice when we actually started like shooting back? Like whether if it's something that if they're just observing us or that we're, that they start to perceive us as a threat. I mean, you could go back to, I would probably go back to at least World War II, where you have things, examples like the Foo Fighters, like you had the strange little UFOs that were flying around reported by World War II pilots, kind of maneuvering and either shadowing them or this, and you're watching, they're observing one of the most destructive conflicts in all of, in human history. These things that you can be like, okay, I can't remember off the top of my head if they actually fired on these objects, but from thinking about it, like you have the 1942 battle for LA where we actually shot at something, like, they were actually shooting they were shooting a lot of things that didn't hit anything, but it's like,
it was like 1500 artillery shells they shot at that fucking, and they ended up saying like, oh, it was some type of balloon. Like,
yeah. Invincible balloon.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there's any way they see us as a threat, because if they did, I don't think we'd be here anymore.
Well, not as like a threat, but they're being like, oh, okay, like, sit up and take notice, to be like, okay, so
it's cute. Look at them.
Well, within those next couple of years, we would deploy our first nuclear weapons. Like we'd be like, oh, now they have the, they have the power of the atom, essentially, or unleash the power of the atom.
If you go with that, say they're just scientists and they've been observing us for a long time, or they created us. Like the ancient alien theory, like we're just like a long-term science experiment. In World War II, we've developed now, we have rockets and we have these giant, we have bombs. And so we start blowing ourselves up. So they come back to check us out. And then while they're here, then we develop maybe one of the most destructive technologies, maybe not just on Earth, but maybe that's just like a galactic thing. Like if you can harness the power of the atom, that is the most destructive force. So we start doing that, and that's when it really ramps up. Like post, like when we test the first bomb, blow up a couple of cities, and they're like, "Whoa, hold up." Because if you go with like other, like
these motherfuckers are ready for a new type of war.
Well, if you go with other theories of them, like, you know, like quantum entanglement and particles are joined across space and time instantaneously, maybe like destroy, like setting off a nuclear bomb here ripples through and that affects somewhere else. So maybe like people say like, oh, how do they observe us from so far away? Like, no, we're connect. There's a connection, but somewhere
we're sending like a tsunami style wave of energy somewhere else in the fucking universe.
If the particles are joined through entanglement and then you blow them up here, what happens on the other side? Where's the other end?
Huge ripple effect.
So then if you have this idea that, you know, okay, so let's say that the aliens are coming here and, for example, that, okay, they started a war and maybe we're even like humans, maybe we're just like, not even, we were just discovered by accident. Like, you know, they started their war and then they detected, like, you know, they started fighting over here and then, you know, we got detected life on this planet just by accident. Maybe there was like a conflict within our, you know, our galactic region and just like a battle broke out here. And then, like we said, like, you know, maybe another, these sages or whatever stepped in and said to these other people and said like, hey, like, you know, you could take your shit and like move it over here. And then we came under the, you know, perhaps we came under the protection or the, you know, the watching of these sages. Right.
I like that theory. So if you could take it further and say, so maybe like a habitable planet is super rare. And there is just the sheer number of planets in the galaxy, et cetera. There's different species who want these habitable planets for different reasons. There's a, you know, you could take the good versus evil battle intergalactic. And there's, so that they're looking for these planets and two species simultaneously discover Earth. So they're trying to race here. But all they detect is that our planet is in the right spot, like the Goldilocks zone. They can't actually see our signatures yet. By the time we get here, say they do some type of like 99% light speed travel and it takes them, I don't know, say 20 years or whatever to get here. By the time we get here, they slow down, they get to Earth. And by that time it's World War II and we're way more advanced than when they left. They both get here at the same time.
And they're just, fuck.
We got to do something about this. They were just monkeys when we left.
So with our technology rapidly, you know, advancing in the way that it has, you know, just within the last couple decades, I mean, you could, this is one of the things that you can also tie in the idea of the Operation Solar Warden that was, you know, come across by Gary McKinnon during his hacking. And was it 90? Was it? No, that was,
it was 99 or something.
2000? Was that 2003? So the idea of, if, you know, reminding people of Operation Solar Warden being basically that this being the idea or the theory that as far back perhaps as the 1980s, the U.S., perhaps with also, you know, international collaboration with other friendly countries or, you know, just, you know, it's just across the globe, has developed a fleet of technologically advanced spacecraft that this fleet, you know, apparently according to Gary McKinnon, when he, you know, hacked the files, the Ministry of Defense or Pentagon, he said that he came across information that seemed to indicate that we have, or at least at that time, there was like a fleet of 8 large motherships, which would be about the size of aircraft carriers, and then numerous smaller craft that I assume they'd be like carrier fleet groups or something like that, in space. Like they were fielding personnel to man these ships with, you know, for whatever you know, the purpose of defending our planet or whatever. But that kind of begs the question as to whether, like, are we active participants in the defense of our own solar system? Like, are we out there? Do we have help? Like, are these aliens like helping us, or are we just like doing it on our own? And we're like, okay, like we need to get our shit together.
Well, if, just to touch on Gary McKinnon too, like that's an interesting one because he kind of said this stuff. And like the United States, obviously not very pleased with him for releasing this stuff. wanted to extradite him, but eventually just like gave it up. And it's because the fear was, is that if they bring him back and they have a trial, that because he would be allowed to testify on this classified information about what he read, and then his defense would be able to subpoena the people involved under oath to ask them questions about these programs and these things, which obviously the United States is like, wow, shit, do we just cut our losses on this one and just fucking make sure Gary McKinnon lives the rest of his life in fear in the UK? Yeah, let's do that instead.
Yeah, and so if these actually, you know, if these allegations are true, you know, it kind of, again, I'm being like, are we shooting back, or do we have help from these alien cultures that, you know, somebody, do we have to pick a side essentially? And like, what would that look like? Well, dude, that it's like, did they come down here? Did aliens come down here and give us like a pitch and been like, you gotta pick a side?
I think we've discussed it before, but like, we are a terrifying species. Like when you think about it, like, we're fucking terrifying. Like, if you had a large number of us, like, you fucking cut off our limbs, we keep going, we'll stitch up, you leave tech behind, we will figure that shit out. We will reverse engineer it, like,
not
pretty
to, like,
quickly.
Reptilians and shit, though. They don't even need to stitch it back, it just grows back.
Yeah. But I'm like,
we're assuming we're scared.
We might be. Like, but that's the thing.
Yeah, we might be. Or we might. We're also, like, out of all the most of the creatures on our planet, we're the softest.
Yeah, but we also fucking dummy everything.
We don't.
Everything sucks compared to us.
Be smarter than everything else.
Happy to be a lot smarter. Yeah,
that's it.
Got a big old, we're just a bunch of fucking nerds.
Yeah, dork.
I mean, that's a theory. Is that maybe Earth's such a weird place, and the fact that it's so unstable compared to other planets. Maybe on other planets there is not that like need for survival, like. Survival of the fittest, maybe. It's just like everything's pretty balanced, everything's just kind of the same, it's just
everything coexists.
No, it's here, it's like, I'll eat you or I'll die trying, and then it just keeps going, and then that didn't work out for them, that species is dead, next one evolves up better and better and better and better. What if in another, like, if that situation keeps going, we got us right now, Homo sapiens, but it would fuck 10 million years, 50 million years, like the length of the lifespan of the planet is so long. What will be the, we're definitely not the pinnacle. So what is the end goal of this planet? And maybe that's why aliens are so interested in the planet. Cause we're so, just hypothetically, maybe we're just so different than other planets.
Or hypothetically,
so volatile.
Maybe this is a game planet, right? Everyone puts their bets. They shoot their species onto Earth and they're like, all right, we got
Bigfoot down there.
Yeah, I got 10 on the amoebas here. And they're like, God damn, those fucking humans keep... They've been on a crazy winning streak.
But, you know, it's like, so why would they come to our solar system? Why would they be interested in our solar system? That it's like, you know, we have intelligent life here, yes. And then we maybe have had life, you know, not just on Earth, but, you know, if we happen to find evidence on either, you know, Venus or Mars... you know, it could possibly, even Venus was like, if way back, way, way, way back, they said it might have been way more habitable than it is now. You know, surfaces in a boiling wasteland apocalypse zone.
They were burning too many fossil fuels, Dan, and that greenhouse got out of control. That's what happened.
It's just an interesting one, because I'm like, the thing with like, oh, they're coming for gold, they're coming for water, they're coming for resources. I'm like, man, there's fucking asteroids with like,
oh yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
comets.
Like, to me, I'm like, I don't think the need to come here would be for any kind of resources. I don't think there's anything,
not even gold,
rare. No, because there's asteroids fucking full of gold.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And diamonds and shit.
Mm-hmm. Shit.
Right. And it's like, we just don't know, like, what is special here is I would have to say it's all the diverse life forms, right? Like, that's what it would, I think that's what they'd be more
special. The specialty of Earth has got to be liquid water.
But that's not even rare, is it? Like, I feel like there's liquid water anyway.
That's, I mean, that's how you... But that's how you, that would be the easiest way to transport it, actually, is frozen. So, I mean, frozen water, like, if you can find frozen water out... in the you know, out in space, like that would be way more convenient than having to.
No, I'm saying like water. The attractiveness of our planet is maybe the liquid water and the stable environment relative to maybe other places.
Yeah.
Far as minerals and rare, so we have gold, not rare at all. It's all over the solar system. What would be what's our rarest mineral here?
Most of the stuff that we go after now, it's like, rare earth metals. You'd have to be like lithium and stuff like that. You'd be
Lithium is actually quite abundant on Earth. It's just harder to mine.
Yeah. And then, you'd have to be like, yeah, even if it's gold or something like that, that they would
rarest
have.
Like we said. Earth element. Some of them I've never heard of. Yttrium.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yttrium. What does that make?
Atomic something number 39. Want? See, like
the vitrimites one.
Yeah,
there's a whole bunch of rare elements I've never heard of. So maybe it's one of those ones. Maybe we just don't know what
that's
it is.
That's the 11th herb in the KFC recipe.
Oh, that makes sense. So you're saying Colonel Sanders is the colonel in the Space Force is what he was a colonel of.
I don't know. Like it's weird. Like I think the life, because if you think about you think about some of the hardy viruses and stuff we have on Earth, or the microorganisms, or think about all the case files we've talked about where these things are popping up, where there's rare forms of fauna only found in certain spots on Earth, right? Like maybe what they're coming and looking for is mutations, because maybe they're in, you know, the building blocks of life or whatever, there is a lot of similarities, right? You get the trees kind of the same kind of style. All this stuff is kind of grows the same. This mold that grows on a wet, damp planet is all kind of the same. But then you have these outliers, these mutations, right? Like the manzanita bushes and shit from Carl Higdon, right? So maybe it's just coming and finding mutations. And maybe that's what they're looking for.
I had the idea that was where we drew out of my head when I was thinking about, as far as like planetary destruction goes, and thinking of like kind of one of the first thing that pops in your head, at least my head, I was like, oh, it's like Krypton, right? Like Krypton got blown up, right? And Superman's only weakness is kryptonite. And it's like pieces of like his old planet, planet. So I'm thinking like these aliens are coming to the asteroid belt, like picking up these pieces to fight their own version of kryptonite, you know, like to be like, okay, we need these to fight whatever was thing. So they're coming in here to find, you know, this type of mineral, or so it doesn't be kryptonite, but I'm like saying it has to be some type of like mineral or some type of element.
So Superman was weak to his own planet.
Yeah. He was regular.
Well, he wasn't superpowered on his planet.
That was always the thing. Like there's probably a better explanation probably that is in the lore, but I was like, that's essentially what it was like pieces of his planet that made him weak. And maybe there is some sort of element or something out there to these old, you know, this proto planet or something. They're coming to our asteroid belt.
You know what? Superman's such a bitch without his powers. I just realized so what you're telling me is that I thought kryptonite killed him. And what you're telling me is kryptonite makes him exactly like me. And he's such a whiny bitch. The second he loses his powers, he's like, this is what it feels like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bitch.
It's actually quite relatable. It's me when I wake up every morning. My back.
Consciousness is your kryptonite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but isn't it like, so the green kryptonite is what takes away his power.
Yeah,
it
makes him weaken.
Other colors
that have other effects.
Yeah, but there's other types of kryptonite that does kill him.
No.
Yeah, they have various effects on him. I think like black kryptonite, like super.
Because Batman's always using the green kryptonite.
Yeah, to weaken him.
So he can punch him.
Right.
Well, make him.
There's other weird kryptonites out there than like that, the whole color spectrum of kryptonite that make him weak.
Yeah, and some of them are leaky.
I didn't know there was other more than just one
kryptonite. No, I didn't either.
Yeah.
It's news to me.
The more you know.
It's there's a couple. But yeah, it's like, is it something like that? I just imagine that it's like they're coming in here for something. It doesn't have to be specifically on Earth. Yeah, like I said, it's just something in our solar system that occurs. I mean, we're finding all the time new planets and stuff like that, you know, especially with James Webb telescope, and being able to, like, these strange planets that are out there, planets that are like entirely composed of diamonds, or these strange solar systems that have like strange star configurations where it's just like, oh, it's super weird. What was it? One of the, who is it that said that our planet, like if we were part of some space federation and like aliens were trying to look at, you know, aliens wanted to come here and visit here for some reason, they were saying that our planet would be an attraction because as far as we know right now, like having a moon that blocks out the sun, like a solar eclipse would be something they'd want to see. It's like, cause it's not something that really seems quite rare. Having like a moon the size of ours, like having that size of a moon and being like that perfectly spaced to be like, okay, that's really interesting and really unusual, and rare. So maybe it's something I imagine there'd be better reason for them to fight over it than being like, hey, we just want a planet that has a cool solar eclipse.
look at this. Oh,
and we talk about like, maybe it isn't a resource thing. Maybe it's
have you ever seen a sun dog on Earth?
Maybe
you ain't lived.
For tourism.
Like maybe it isn't even a resource thing. Maybe it is like, you know, much like humans, intelligent life like goes to research. War for, well, not even that, like ideological reasons. Like they just, you know, either there's ones out here that want to influence, and we've, you know, there's some theories out there that aliens are already working with us, trying to influence us in some way, that, you know, even if they were like, okay, just thinking like it's like some aliens like they want to probe us, and other ones want to pick us up, because we have all these different accounts of alien abduction, and a lot of them like vary, like when we talked about like the 50s,
different orifices,
not even that, but there's some that but even like the ones from the 50s and 60s that were more benign, that were kind of like, hey, like, you know, peace and love, and then we're going to show you like where we live, like Betty and Barney Hill. And before some of the stuff, it's like other you know, that one's a terrifying account, but other accounts that are people like, hey, I'm just sure this is where we're from, you know, this is cool stuff, and you know, you guys need to like kind of not blow each other up so much, you know there's those ones.
Well, tracks for the time too, right?
Like, you know, like
in the 60s and 70s. Yeah.
And if there's a shift somewhere in there where it was like, you know, maybe some those aliens got pushed out, maybe those were like kind of the I would say, like, you know, they're kind of like the prospectors, like the frontiersmen, like they come out here and they kind of come over and they're like, hey, blah, 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 doing whatever. And then these more aggressive species like push their way in and we're like,
we're just out here on Earth prospecting.
It's just like, I mean, that's what some of them kind of remind me of. They're just like, yeah, they're just out here just like exploring and stuff like that. And then, but then you get some of them that come in here and you're like the reptilians and you're
not so cool.
Grays, and you're like, oh, I don't want to hang out with those guys. so you know, it's a thing. It's like if they're out there fighting in our solar system, like our solar system, probably people don't really think about it because it's difficult, but our solar system is huge. Like it is gigantic. There could be battles happening out in the Oort cloud that we wouldn't even know about if there were like small scale conflicts and stuff like that. Not even small scale, like be huge, just wouldn't see it.
Have you been out and, you know, you just looked up and you see a weird flash in the sky and you're like, and you're just like, I don't know what the fuck that was.
Maybe Starling.
It was a fucking Starling.
It was a Starling.
All right. Yeah. And even though like we have a large chunk of the sky under observation and all of our telescopes and stuff, if it's something that's super fast, like, yeah, you have like an explosion, there's like a freaking warp core explosion or something like that. And it's just the stuff like, yeah, a quick little flash in the sky. And it's like, that was it. Maybe there was like a whole, you know, could have been a fleet of ships that just got wiped out or something like that. And just, we don't know it, you know, stuff could be going on and we have no idea yet. Right. Or we do, you know, it is our space force. It is our operation and solar warden, you know, holding it down. I don't know.
Hey, that's what was Corey Gooden and the boys. They're onto it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Corey Gooden and Obama. Barack Obama.
Oh, yeah. Barack Obama was part of
veterans of the.
And then you get age regressed, right? You're there for 50 years, then you have to get put back in a 40-year-old body.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Checks out.
The theories are unlimited onto why aliens would be coming here, why fighting over us. But
Let us know what you think.
What side are you going to
take? Until we kill one and actually put it on display, we won't know.
Yeah. Whose side are you going to be on?
Oh, imagine we find out and we got to choose a side.
Yeah.
That's World War III. It's all starting right now.
Could you imagine if really, like, you see, like, the different geopolitical aspects, like, we're just all backed by different alien races right now?
That's some of those theories that are thrown out there. That sounds like a thing where it's like different aliens are supporting the different governments.
Join us. This is what we can argue.
Earth is just a giant proxy war. Like, it's all just like, that's all it is.
They actually are just taking our resources.
Yeah.
They're not doing any fighting.
No.
Yeah. They're just manipulating us into fighting.
And they keep dropping some new technology so we can reverse engineer it and make our weapons better. They're not actually giving us anything.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who fucking knows? Yeah. Let us know what you think. Instagram, Facebook, send us an email, alientheorists@gmail.com.
Twitter.
You find us. Search Alien Theorists on any platform. We're probably
everywhere. Yeah.
We might be shadow banned or have a copyright strike by some weird reason, but we're there.
Just got to look. You got to squint.
Yeah.
Squint. Like, looking at
don't
the
look
sun.
For too long, though. Like directly at the sun.
We got a theory of the week. I got one, unless someone else has one.
It's yours.
Rip it, buddy.
Let's go. All right. Easy way to get theory of the week. Head to Apple Podcasts or wherever you can leave a nice review, Facebook sometimes. And
there's been a few not so nice ones.
Like, sure. There always is.
That's what it is.
Yeah, whatever. It's kind of a...
We can't please everybody.
It's part of the job.
Can't please everybody. This one is from Ice Blue Shoes from Canada. 5-star review.
Nice.
Still loving it after all these years. This is my favorite podcast, and listening to the boys during the workday helps my sanity in getting through the day, offering a sobering yet comedic take on various conspiracy related topics, but also their views on many of the crazy things in today's world. They're able to do it without being too serious, but you'll be sure to laugh and maybe learn a thing or two, from aliens to Bigfoot, true crime with supernatural aspects, or some sort of government conspiracy cover up. You'll keep coming back for more. Keep it up.
Hell yeah.
Thank you, Ice Blue Shoes. Fucking nice. That was a nice review.
Fucking legend.
Good review.
Comprehensive review.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'd listen to that podcast.
Yeah. You are the Theorite of the Week.
Hell yeah.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Right. And if you're not supporting the show, you want to support your boys, support your favorite podcast, you got to go to alientheorist.com. You got to hit the support tab, sign up on Patreon, Supercast, early access, ad free, all the bonus shit. I tell you every week.
All of it.
Yeah. So, you're not just supporting us, but you get stuff. Like, you get stuff if you support
us. Trade.
Like,
we have a, it's a fair
we
trade.
Have a, we have a bunch of trade stuff exchange.
Anyways, this week's newest supporters. We got James M. McCreesh, Shay Pridemore, Scott Birmingham, Soaring Peacock.
It's gonna gotta let me fly.
Gotta let me fly. Lauren Coleman and Jordan Lee, thank you very much for supporting the show.
Superstars.
And just before we punch out, we are, if you're listening to this one, we are a week away from live recording of Case File 300, which is going to be happening Sunday, November 12th, in the evening. On YouTube.
To be decided.
We don't know. We might play some Dungeons and Dragons before. So depending where we get,
it's gonna be sloppy
in our
then.
Campaign, come join us. Come hang out Sunday, the 12th, probably around 6:30 or 7, I imagine, we'll be kicking off Case File 300. Probably taking some calls. Having some fun, having some drinks.
Doing some trivia. Slurring. Probably might play a few clips. Maybe not. We'll see what happens.
Thanks, everyone. And as we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies.
See you in After Hours.